in this house and we reflect on the day that you hung on that Calvary's cross. You shed every drop of your blood. Not because you had another choice, but because you desired to. You wanted to redeem humanity from brokenness and sin and failure, addictions, sickness, pain, depression. You came to redeem us from that. And tonight, we stand in amazement at how wonderful and loving and kind you are. And here we are, Lord. We just open our lives, each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. Every man, woman, boy, girl, tonight we submit our hearts and our lives to you for you to do what only you can do. In the next few moments, God, take your word and let it be used to transform the destiny of people that are here listening. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said a great amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bible and you want to read this scripture, I'm going to read an Old Testament scripture out of Isaiah chapter 53 that just so well describes. Debbie, if you just want to hang around me, don't you appreciate Debbie playing up here tonight? I heard it's going to be Debbie's birthday next month. She's going to turn 28 or 29. And so we got to have a party or something. Okay. Isaiah chapter 53. I love this. 700 years before the cross, Isaiah begins to prophesy under the anointing of God's Holy Spirit what is going to take place and what took place, not only then, because Jesus, he was, he is, and he is to come. In the beginning, he was. The Bible says in John that the Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there when the foundations of the world were created. The Bible says he is the Lamb that was slain before anything else was created. When God had you and I in mind, he had a moment in time where he would provide redemption and for you and I to be free from that sin that has been born into us. When sin entered into the world because of the first Adam, he created what we know as a second Adam in Jesus Christ to come and free us from that and all of the things that attaches itself to us because of it. And Isaiah begins to prophesy. And I don't want to read this, and I'm going to begin to read earlier. He says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the Lord, has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire in him." In verse 3 it says, "He is despised and he is rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him." And these are the next couple verses that I just really want to focus on. In verse 4 he said, "Surely he has borne our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed." You notice how that is. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And verse 6 says, "And we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of every single one of us." He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. God bless your word. Unmistakably, this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every detail of the prophet's words are very closely corresponding to the death that Jesus died for you and I. Written that 700 years before it ever took place, who could have believed that this could possibly come to pass so exactly the way Isaiah the prophet had said it would? And this chapter is the unanswerable proof of the inspiration of the Bible and how the Holy Spirit has laid out these words to you and I. It's a teaching of the Scripture that tells us the very heart and the plan that God had. And he does not, listen to this, he does not suffer because people are sinners, but he suffers in place of sinful people. Did you know that tonight, that you and I, when we receive Christ in our heart, and we believe him with our heart, and we make him the Lord and the master of our lives, that what we just read here becomes identified in your life in particular. That every sin that you have ever committed, every wrong that you ever had done, every evil thought that has ever passed through your mind, everything that you looked on that you know afterwards you shouldn't, everything, every sin, you call it what you want. Jesus took it to that cross and paid for it so that you and I could be free and live free. And he suffers because of that. You and I do not have to face the eternal consequences of our sin ever again. Because when we turn to him and ask him to be a part of our heart and in our lives, he takes upon, the Bible says, the sin of the world. He didn't do it only because of his love for you and I. Hear that now tonight. And in verse 4, the passage states the true reason for the suffering. Because in verse 4 it says, surely he has borne our grief and he has carried our sorrow. And we esteem him stricken, smitten of God. And I want you to notice the contrast between where it says he and our. Everything he did was for our benefit. All of the sufferings that Jesus participated in were not his fault, but in fact the result of the sin that you and I were born with. You wonder why sometimes you think or you do or you act out the way you do. You were born with that. Listen, I'm not giving people any kind of a free pass tonight. Just go out and act any way you want and say, well, Jesus paid for me on the cross. Because when you know what he has done for you, it will cause you to move away from the things that will try to destroy who your life is. I've read this story several times, and I really never knew the originator of it. And I found out it was from Cliff Barrows. He used to travel with Billy Graham. And he tells the story of the time his two young children had continually did something wrong. And he would discipline them, and they never got the picture. And they would continue over and over to do these things wrong. And so they were warned and they were disciplined. But one day, Cliff Barrow's heart just became pained with what was happening. And he decided to do something different. So he called his two children into one of his rooms. And he took his shirt off and he took the belt off of his pants. And he got down on his knees and he handed the belt to one of his children. And he says, I want you to take this belt and I want you to strike my bare back with it 10 times. And his little child said, Daddy, I can't do that. He says, no, you must do that, because the penalty for your wrong must be paid for. And with every time that little child struck her father's back, she began to weep and cry. And then when she was done, he said, now hand the belt to your other sibling. And when he began to strike his daddy's back, he began to weep and to cry. And afterwards, Cliff got up, he hugged them and he kissed them and they prayed together. And he says it hurt, but he says after that, I never had to discipline them ever again. And That is the perfect picture of what Jesus has done for you and I. When we accept Him and make Him the Lord of our lives, we're not haunted by the memory of our failures and our sin any longer, because He took it on the cross and He allowed the penalty of every one of them to be applied to His back. Come on, you ought to be happy about that tonight. God, who is the judge, not only declares you and I guilty, but He pays for our sin as well. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to our sin, might live for righteousness. And then He goes on to say, by whose stripes you are healed. You are set free. Come on, my brothers and sisters. You don't have to carry that anymore. He has suffered for you and I. He has given His life for you and I. He takes our sickness. He takes the weakness. He takes the failure upon Himself. The word stricken describes even an illness or a misfortune that suddenly occurs on somebody's life. And the Bible says that Christ bore it and He carried it to the cross. And He gave Himself for it. And the Messiah is the one who bore our grief and carries our sorrow. And the word grieving here means for the loss of some good or on the account of some expected evil. It means depression. It means dejected. It means grief. It means to be mournful. And Jesus said, I took that too. So you don't have to carry that any longer. You burden down with everything that comes your way in the world. You worry. You lay awake at night and you're wondering, what's going to happen to me tomorrow? And Jesus says, I've got this. I've got that covered. I've made a way for you so you don't have to do that. When you receive Him as your Savior, He's not only a Savior for our sin, but He lifts the burden of the sadness from our shoulders. Oh, hallelujah tonight. He lifts you from depression and from sadness. And we can bring our grief to the Bible calls Him a man of sorrows. And there is help, there is healing, there is closure at the cross for the deepest wound and pain that you have ever carried in your life. Amen. Come on, you ought to clap your hands one more time for that. And verse 5 is this striking picture of both physical and spiritual anguish on our Savior. The Bible says He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, you and I are healed. Piercing through is a result of our rebellion. Crushing on His life was on account of the twisted nature that we are born with, that we have to deal with every single day. I don't care who you are here tonight. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what you attest that you are and what you've overcome. There is not a person in this room tonight or listening to my voice later that has not encountered some old man evil nature in your life that causes you sometimes to say, where in the world did that come from? But He was crushed on account of that. Broken to pieces. Crushed under the weight of our sin and the judgment of God that fell upon Him for you and I. And He says, also for our iniquities. You know, the word iniquity is something that's more deeply rooted. And I've always been amazed at this. You know, I was born, and you've heard me say it before, and by a dad and my grandfather, my father's father and his father, all alcoholism, just mean and miserable. And that strain in my life carried over until one day when Jesus came into me, He helped me to overcome the strain of that in my life. The iniquity. The Bible says, that David says in Psalm 51:2, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He says it's not just sin, but an iniquitous nature is what moves you to do things that you wish you'd never done. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. He has delivered you from that. You know what it's like years ago? This just came to me. The Lord just dropped this in my heart today. When the kids were little, they wanted to have a cat. And so they got a cat, but that cat had an iniquitous nature. How many of you ever heard that you can take a barn cat, a cat out of the barn, but you can't ever take the barn out of the cat? And I'll never forget, we brought that cat, cutest little thing, put his little tail up. He'd purr, and the kids would say, oh, he's so beautiful. But when the kids were out, that cat took off, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. My wife had new curtains, and we didn't have money for much then. That cat launched from the floor about 6 feet in the air and started walking across those curtains. And my wife says, Mart, that cat has got to go. Back to the barn, that cat went. And that's kind of what you and I are. See, we've been born, we're like barn cats. We've got this iniquitous nature inside of us, and without the power of the cross, we stay that way. Hell, come on, hear me tonight. But when we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, when He has shed His blood and we receive that into our life, He takes that iniquity out of us and puts into us a brand new nature that we don't have to be separated from Him. We don't have to be ashamed anymore. We are new people in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He who knew no sin became sin for you and I, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's you. That's me tonight. Come on, you can be thankful for that. You can take it to the bank tonight. And then in verse 6, He says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Here, it's my farm nature coming out in me, but it's in the Word of God. He says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned into our own way. And the Lord has laid on Him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Every person will have this propensity to run off. You go through life so long, you get to a certain place in your life and you run up against the wall, and we are like a sheep. We just are blind to everything around us, and we just go our own way. Am I the only one that's ever done that, or am I talking to anyone in here? And you're wondering, why does this happen to me? Sheep are prone to get lost. They get off track. Their selfishness causes them to just continue to eat and move in a direction that takes them out of where they are supposed to live. We all, like sheep, the Bible says, have gone astray. It's our selfishness. It's our lack of judgment. It's our poor decisions. It's our lust, our temptations. It's our ambitions that cause us to go farther than we ever hoped we would go. But He comes looking for us. God would send His Son Jesus to come and bring us back. I don't know if I'm the only one that God's ever gone to and said, wait a minute, come back here. I want you. He tracks us down. He comes hunting for us. He comes looking for us. He might send a person. He might put you in a place. You might go through an experience, something that all of a sudden you hit the wall on, and that's Jesus sending out, I always call it the God squad, to bring you back home again. He tracks you down. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 11, He said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd. It does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he runs away. And the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. You see, the shepherd will come looking for you and I tonight. Hallelujah. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. You're here tonight, and you've given your life to Christ, and you just strayed off. I want you to know, you will never get away. Hear me right now. You can run, but you can't hide. He will track you down. I don't care where you go. He will pop up in the middle of nowhere and say, yo, here I am. Come back home. I have need of you. And aren't you glad about that tonight? Come on. Aren't you glad about that tonight? Those that are going to help with communion, I want you to come right now. I'm so thankful for the cross. I'm so thankful for the power of the cross tonight. If you're here tonight and you've never given your heart and your life to Christ, I want you to do that before you participate in this tonight. All you have to do is right where you're at. I believe God's word has compelled you enough right now. Just go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, begin to serve it. When you receive this, hold on to it until we all partake together. I believe that right where you're at right now, you can say yes to Him. It's nothing complicated. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. And when you do that tonight, things begin to change in your life. When we participate in the bread and in the cup of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, we are going to remember what He has done for us. What I've just talked about with you tonight. How He gave His life at Calvary. How He carried the cross. How His hands and His feet were nailed to that cross. Not just for a special few, but for you and for me. For everyone. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. And we'll all partake together at the end. Once you receive the bread and the cup, why don't you just close your eyes a minute? Let God just speak to your heart. Let Him change you. Let Him work inside of you. Maybe you're that one I'm talking about. Maybe you're away. You showed up tonight. Maybe somebody asked you to come and you just came out. Or even while you're here tonight, you just sense that drawing. He's pulling you back. Not because He's mad at you. Because He loves you so much.
Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord. To the cross.
Yes.
Where Thou hast died.
When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. Just close your eyes. Let God speak to you right now. If I felt earlier tonight that I would be speaking to someone tonight, the Lord would, who is dealing with depression in their life. He's here to lift that sorrow off of you tonight, to help you. If you were not served and you wanted to, would you put your hand up real high? We don't want to miss anyone tonight. If you were missed by mistake, will you wave at me right now? Everyone is served. Thank you, God. Take the bread. Jesus said, "This is my body. It's been broken for you. Nobody takes my life." Jesus said, "I lay my life down." The Bible says at any moment He could have called legions of angels. He laid His life down. No one took it from Him. He did that because he loves you. He loves me. He loves us so much. Hear that tonight. You don't have to carry that anymore. You're here with unforgiveness in your heart. You've been hurt. Everyone has been assaulted in some way, sometime in their life. You need to let it go tonight. You need to move beyond that. Your life will take a new meaning. You'll begin to see things greater and brighter. Your eyes will be open more. You'll see things. It's like moving from black and white to technicolor. He took the bread. He said, "This is my body. I give it for you. Take it. Each one of you, eat it. And as you do, you remember what I have done for you." Let's partake the bread, the body of the Lord, together. Same way he took the cup. His blood was shed for you and I. At the cross of Calvary, he destroyed the power of sin and the iniquitous nature that leads you down that path. Someone here tonight, you've been delivered from an addiction in your life, and the enemy plagues you on a daily basis, just saying, it won't be long and you'll be back the way. But the Spirit of the Lord has come in this sanctuary tonight to affirm to you that that is gone. That old nature will never come back to you because he has come. He has destroyed. He has taken the iniquity of us all upon himself. And if the devil wants to come and try to accuse you, all you got to do is point to Jesus and say, "He took it. That's not mine anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus." He took the cup. He said, "This is my blood. This is the New Testament." He said, "As often as you drink it, you remember what I've done for you. I've healed you. I've delivered you. I've saved you. I've given you life and given it to you more abundantly." Let's partake of the cup together. Ryan, sing that once more. Draw me near.
Draw me near.
Let this be your prayer tonight.
Near a blessing, Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw.
So thankful tonight. How we love you. How we love what you have done for us. How you've provided life for us. I'm going to declare blessing over your people tonight, God. I declare freedom, hope, life, the purposes of God to be revealed in and through them. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, and everyone said amen. Amen. I love you. Hey, listen, Easter Sunday, 8:30, 10 a.m., we've got some special things planned. It is going to be probably one of the greatest Sundays that we've had at the City Church, and I can't remember when. So on your way out tonight, make sure you love somebody. Don't just run out the door. Take a moment. Touch somebody. Shake their hand. Bless them. Tell them that you love them. Go in God's grace tonight. I love you.